7BR Part Heard. Hello, and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. I'm Rhys Palmer, Chambers Paralegal. We're joined today by 7BR's Chief Executive, Harry Charlton, who is here today as part of our Christmas series to reflect on the past 12 months, looking at the challenges and changes at 7BR. Harry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Rhys. Good to be here.
So thanks for joining today. It's a bit different to what you did last year. We actually can have a conversation this time and sort of talk about what's been going on. I thought a good place to start would be the same place that everybody has probably been talking about, and that is COVID. We're now currently, as the time of recording this, at a point where the work from home mandate is coming back into place as a mandatory requirement. I just thought we've seen quite a bit going on. Could we start back at March 2020? How did that affect Chambers, and sort of what's the steps that have been in place going forward since then?
Yeah, well, as I covered in the podcast we recorded this time last year, March 2020 was D-Day. The world changed, possibly irrevocably, which we didn't realize at the time. And it was a year of transformation forced upon us, and everyone responded incredibly well in terms of the members and the clerking team and the staff. And we felt a real sense of achievement coming through 2020, keeping 7BR not only as a viable entity, which at times people were questioning whether that was possible, not just us, but Barristers Chambers generically, but also continuing to grow and continuing to find new areas of work. And we use a number of techniques, audio visuals, adapting to working from home, digital marketing, etc. And it was very difficult, but ultimately it shone through. And we got to the end of that financial year, 2020-21, in March 21, with a very solid set of numbers, which was obviously very gratifying, but also having grown Chambers in terms of absolute numbers of members and having put ourselves in quite a different space through our adoption of digital marketing. So that was excellent. The winter of 2021, January, February, March, was difficult for everyone because we were in a hard lockdown and we didn't have the distraction of sunshine and late evenings as we did in the spring 2020 lockdown. But we knew that we were going to come out of it in April or May, which of course we did. We had some welcome diversions, like the BSB regulatory return to deal with, which I can't pretend was fun, but it was an exercise that we needed to undertake, and we did. But the story for me of 2021 has been one of stops and starts and peaks and troughs and almost false alarms, which now is playing out again, in that we keep feeling we've turned the corner as a society and we've got the vaccine rollout and we can return to some kind of normality. And then something comes along and says, no, hold on a minute, you're getting ahead of yourselves. We're not quite there yet. So we are constantly having to adapt, and we're having to adapt again this week, as you mentioned earlier, with the working from home mandate back on. And it's been really challenging, but really interesting watching people's behaviors. And two or three points that have come home to me very strongly. The advantages of having people in a building are enormous. And you can just see it from the way people behave, but the way they perform. They feed off each other. Humans are social animals. We want to be surrounded by each other to exchange ideas, to just, you know, commiserate during poor times and congratulate each other during good times. And being able to do that over Zoom, Teams and LifeSize is so restrictive. And it's been a real joy with the summer to have people back in. I very much hope that will continue into 2022, although there's a small question mark over it now. Other things that have been brought home to me, just how tiring this has all been for people. And I call it subconscious fatigue. And I don't think it's traditional, conventional physical tiredness of getting up at 6 a.m, getting on a train at 7, leaving Chambers at 6, getting home at 7, times 5, times 47 weeks a year. It's countering the anxiety of being pinged, the anxiety of another positive test, the anxiety of your summer holiday plans being binned at the last moment, which has happened to all of us multiple times in the past 2 years. It really takes it out of people, And I think the way that we as management can try and overcome that is by sharing those experiences, empathizing, and just saying, no, it's going to be okay. We're going to pull each other through here. And it's been the same with members as well. You know, having a trial pulled at the last moment, having a set of papers not emerged because the solicitor has, you know, tested positive, etc. We've had to become much more adaptable and resilient than perhaps we thought we could be or we would be. So that's a positive, but it's been a really tough road to get there.
So you mentioned that Chambers came out of this year or the past financial year with positive numbers, and we've read reports that some sets, namely criminal sets, might not be able to survive another 12 months in a lockdown, and other sets have done very well, more in the civil and commercial side, obviously. You then touched on some of the difficulties that were being faced, and how did Chambers sort of tackle those to make sure that we were able to have a good year? What were some of the things that we were doing?
I think the clerks have been very innovative in terms of sourcing new kinds of work for members. Advisory work came to the fore very quickly, particularly when the courts were still being closed. Also, trying to increase the quality of work for members as opposed to just purely the quantity. The quantity, you know, volume driven is arguably the easy option, whereas constantly looking to source better work, not just better paid work, but work that has greater ramifications for members' career paths and their development through the judicial system. I think that's been a renewed emphasis, which has worked quite well. There's always room for improvement, of course. And I think that in turn has been reflected in the number of members who have approached us from outside Chambers that can have a conversation about 7BR. Being multidisciplinary, you know, we can argue it till the cows come home as whether it's an advantage or a disadvantage. I'd say it's both. But I think we're good at playing it to our advantage. And people are seeing the opportunity to develop a broader spectrum of skills before deciding to specialize, or indeed saying, I can join 7BR and really develop a particular practice area, which I'm unable to in my current situation, which potentially makes us attractive to new lateral hires. And we are not going for some kind of growth strategy for the sake of growth. What we're trying to do is to build out a portfolio of practice areas in depth so that we're able to cover a broad spectrum of work, but also become a broad church for a large number of members who want to develop particular areas.
And I think, again, something that you mentioned earlier, we've got the AV equipment that we've had installed, which has been quite good. And I've been coming into Chambers a couple of days a week, and you've spoken about how the clerks have been really supportive. And I think that in part comes down to the very flexible working that we've been able to have by making sure that we've had clerks and staff on the floor in Chambers available to support members, the members that are having to come into Chambers because they need the space to do their work and have that escape, as it were, from home to balance out that work-life balance. I think that is one of the strong factors that we've had here in Chambers that has been able to ensure that we've been able to maintain a good level of normality despite these things being completely different.
And now, I mean, we're finding the pendulum has swung the other way, in that one of the challenges that we have on behalf of our members is managing work-life balance, because the bottlenecks have become so large and the backlog of work has become so enormous. There is literally way too much work there, particularly on the criminal side, for us to ever handle. And so we being the clerks particularly, have to retain the right to say no. You know, we simply can't ask that member to take that particular piece of work on. They do not have the capacity. They must have some downtime, which you could say is a nice problem to have given where we were 18 months ago, but it is still a problem that has to be acknowledged and dealt with.
How do you see Chambers now going forwards? We've dealt with the surprise that was COVID. We learned to adapt. We implemented work from home. We have jumped backwards and forwards of being able to do things again, socialize, go to court, courts then being closed again, or as you say, the bottlenecks. What do we think that we'll be seeing in the future for Chambers, and how we can make sure that we stay on top and ahead of the game?
I think we need to be quite expansive in our thinking about what are the longer term ramifications for the judicial system of COVID, how the court system is going to adapt going forwards, how that backlog of criminal cases will be cleared, what are the longer term implications from a sort of macro level on budgets and funding for conditional fee agreements, given that we are still quite heavily personal injury clinical negligence based. We have to be able to anticipate what is going to happen in the broader environment and then try and get ahead of it. And by that, I mean, we must play to our strengths, personal injury clinical negligence, clearly, employment, family, general crime, business crime, but we also need to be alive to new opportunities. And I think with technology developing the way it is, and with markets developing the way they are, and, you know, regulation, GDPR, data protection being an obvious example, we need to be able to equip ourselves to be at the forefront of some of the work that will be emerging around those areas. So we need to be very alive to what's going on in the broader environment. It's been too easy for the past 18 months to be very introverted and insular and very much let's keep the trains running on time. Well, we've kept the trains running on time more or less. Now we need to understand what the stations are going to look like, where they're heading to.
Yeah, and as you said, life has to continue. Things were still happening. You mentioned the BSB regulatory return was one of the things that was ongoing throughout the pandemic. What have been some of the highlights, both good and bad, that Chambers has been doing alongside crisis managing COVID, as it were?
I think, you know, peer recognition is always wonderful. So, you know, when you have someone like Sun Ramaskri QC being nominated for Clinical Negligence Silk of the Year, when you have one of our latest recruits, Mass, being nominated for Future Leader on Diversity and Inclusion, that is incredibly uplifting. And getting that acknowledgement from within the sector, within the industry, is second to none. As I mentioned earlier, it's always quite flattering when you are approached as a set by external members saying, I'm hearing a lot of good things about 7BR. Could we have a conversation, please, with no obligations? Which is always very encouraging. We've continued to invest heavily in the infrastructure of the building. We've put in more audiovisual equipment to create more flexible working conditions for everyone. We have just put in world-class disabled access in the shape of Sesame Steps, which is a very cool lift for wheelchair users, which is not straightforward in a Georgian townhouse in central London. We've literally just finished that project last week. And also, I think there's been a real acknowledgement from the members that now, as we head into 2022, is a really good time to take stock and just ask ourselves some fundamental questions about where we are going as an institution over the next 3 to 5 years. And I really look forward to moving that as we head into the new year and seeing where we land.
Well, thank you, Harry, for coming on. It's been a pleasure discussing this with you today.
Thank you, Ease. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Thank you to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode and Harry's reflection on the year past. You can find more episodes like this and the rest of our Christmas series on Chambers websites and other major streaming platforms such as Apple Music and Spotify. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.